Joining us now, fresh off her win in Kansas on the Symetra Tour, and actually 2 weeks off of finishing tied for second also in Kansas, recent Symetra Tour winner Christine Song. Welcome into the golf shop.
Hi.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, but I didn't just win a golf tournament and finish the previous week tied for sixth. What is it about? You're a girl from California. Why do you like Kansas so much?
Because there's nothing there, so I can actually focus.
No, I think that's a very truthful answer. There are no distractions. Do you know you're not the first player to say that about either Kansas or Arkansas? That there's nothing else to do, so it's all golf. There's no temptation to go out at night. There's no temptation to go to the spa. There's nothing. It's you and golf.
So am I going to win next week as well?
I would say so. I mean, I'm glad you're going to go because, you know, that's another one of the things. You know, the Symetra Tour has these three events left, the one in Arkansas, which – you know, it seems like players who are really nervous about sitting on the edge of the cut for the card, they're going to try to play all three, but some other people just, they skip Arkansas, and then it seems these last two Florida events, nobody wants to miss because it's the, well, A, it's the last time you'll see some folks, it's the last chance to compete for the year. Is it your plan to play all three?
Yeah, I'm going to play all three.
Oh, good. Now,
not a bad idea.
No. I think it's a lovely idea. And actually, going to Arkansas next week, you may find there's nothing to do there either. So I think you'll win. And the Golf Shop Radio bump will probably come into play, which is a real thing, and you can expect great success in the very near future.
Yes.
Yeah, it really is, except it didn't work for Finkelstein last week, but we won't talk about that. Now, Yeah, well, I think maybe hers is taking a while. It's taking a while to marinate inside. So maybe it'll come out this week. You know,
All right. This
is, you know, you're one of those players who has knocked back and forth between the big tour on the LPGA and the Symetra Tour. You played 16 LPGA Tour events this year, four Symetra Tour events. You say you're going to play three more Symetra Tour events. And I'm curious, when you're going into Kansas, and again, we laugh about being able to focus, but what sort of came back into line for you? It hasn't been a great season, but what went well?
I played in Canada the 2 weeks before Kansas, and my coach came up to the second one, and I was like telling him, I was like, I'm putting terribly. Can you fix it? And he looked at it for a little bit. And he was like, let's try this. And then we tried it, and it worked.
Really? Now, I don't want you to give away trade secrets, but like, what worked? I mean, for the recreational golfer who can't putt to save his or her life, I mean, you can probably explain what kind of a fine tune it takes to make a big difference in your overall putting.
What we fixed was tempo. He made me download a metronome on my phone, and we just, like, worked on that. And the thing is, like, for me, I have, like, a certain speed that I want to go to. And I guess for everybody else, it could be different.
So almost for some reason, you had started, like, having an inconsistency in that stroke and in the tempo, like you're a little bit faster than you would normally be, or you were shortening it and you just needed to get back to a nice steady rhythm?
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Bingo.
I would say coach comes to Canada was well done. I mean, it's remarkable to me as a bad golfer that it can be something so small that you who are out there grinding away week after week and it's not like you weren't practicing putting, but you needed that other person to look at it and see. At what point do you look at something in your game and make the call to say, hey, can you come up here and see what's going on?
When I try everything and it doesn't work.
Yeah, I've asked a lot of our players about things that are in their swing, and they're like, yeah, I fixed something at the top of my swing. Well, okay. Well, you fixed it at the top, and now you're focusing on that one thing in the top of your swing. What if it messes everything else up? How do you guys make sure that these little changes you're making don't tumble down the hill like an avalanche?
I guess that I'd say just do it on the range and not really think about it on the course, because once you think about it on the course, then you're not really thinking about playing and you're thinking about mechanics. And when you play like in a tournament, you just focus on the tournament and not really focus on your swing.
Okay. Okay. Not on, you're focusing on what you're doing, not how you're doing it, I suppose.
Yeah.
And when you're walking the course and you're playing in a competitive round, what kinds of what kind of player are you in terms of your mindset? Are you loose? Are you thinking about TV programs from last night, or are you thinking about playing the hole the previous day, or what kind of an approach do you take mentally to feel like you're going to play your best during a round?
During a tournament?
Yeah.
Normally I listen to music before, when I'm warming up, and I try to get this song stuck in my head so I could just have it in my head all day.
Okay. What kind of songs get stuck in your head? Are we talking about Pantera, Anthrax, Metallica, or are we talking about, something much softer?
More like hip hop.
So what?
Anything with a good beat.
Anything with a good beat. What has been this summer's get stuck in your head song?
Last week I had two different songs. I had Justin Bieber's Cold Water.
Yep.
In my head for a couple days, and then I had this other song called Bad Word by Panicland.
Uh-huh. So,
and that was in my head the last 2 days.
So you'll be bringing that to Arkansas. So when you achieve this getting a song stuck in your head and you know it's going to carry you through, does a chatty playing partner or caddy or something, can they ruin that for you?
No.
You're just
never.
You're able to keep it sort of as background music the whole day, and when there's silence, that's what you hear. And does it keep you from allowing the other noise to come in, the other mental noise?
Sometimes it does, and I try my best to block it out. And I don't know, my caddy last week, he helped me be more relaxed, and so I wasn't really thinking about if I hit a bad shot, I wouldn't really think about that shot anymore, because he would change the subject and put something else in my head.
Well, that's a good caddy relationship there.
Yeah, he's really goofy. So.
Oh, it's not, well, maybe goofy is what you need. You know, to keep.
Yeah,
you,
I think so.
Well, we've got three people in the studio right now who could be your next caddies then. This is a pretty goofy group here. So as you look at these last three events and going into next year, what's your plan? I mean, this year it was 16 LPGA events. Looks like it's going to be 7 Symetra Tour events. When you look at next year, which begins on the LPGA Tour with the Pure Silk Bahamas, what are you laying out for your schedule? Do you know yet?
Goal right now is to win the next three so I don't have to go to Q school.
Yeah,
but if that doesn't happen, I'll just go to Q school and then play my way in and then play LPGA next year.
Yeah, now I mean you were a great junior player and you actually made your way through Q school the first time you tried. What separates the sort of seemingly exceptional college player from the player who can hang around and make money on the Symetra Tour to what it takes to make it on the LPGA Tour? It used to be 10 or 15 years ago, it was length. It's no longer length. I mean, everybody's hitting it long now. What separates the truly exceptional player from the person who can, hang around and make a career of it?
I think if you have fun, it'll be maybe a lot easier. It's just that I feel like I go back and forth so many times because I get so much stressed, and I feel like if I was more relaxed, I would be staying on the LPGA Tour and not having to come back to the Symetra Tour.
Does seeing those courses a second and possibly third time on the LPGA, does that help reduce the stress? I mean, I've always wondered if the biggest goal for the first year LPGA Tour player really shouldn't be, to blow the doors off and become the next, phenom, but to make it to the second year when you get to see everything and live everything a second time.
Right. I feel like the rookies every year, they prepare too much on the LPGA Tour. And I still try and prepare too much. And I feel like I should let loose a little bit, but it's not that easy.
So in preparing for the first time out, you're saying that they overdo it. They spend too much time working. Instead of doing what got them there, they're trying to, sort of lay the foundation to stay there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's remarkable how few actually stay for that second year and don't end up bouncing back and forth for a while.
Yeah.
All right. So when
those girls are very, I don't say that they get lucky, but they just prepare differently.
Well, and sometimes luck is what they make of it. I mean, you go out there and it's a totally different world. And to be successful, I think it takes a little bit of luck, And I'm not talking about the 16-year-old phenom that we see come through every now and again. I'm talking about the player who does it right and does it the way we think, comes through juniors and high school and college and on the Symetra Tour possibly, and then on the LPGA Tour, and they just stick. I think a lot of it has to be luck.
They probably have crazy parents that push them so hard.
So you didn't have that?
I do. I still do.
So you have your own version of helicopter parents?
Oh, yeah.
Now, and how do they respond? Like this week, you went T6 last week. You won this week. How do your parents respond to that?
So when I went T6 last week, my dad wasn't there, and normally my dad travels with me. And he flew in Monday, and he hadn't been with me for 3 weeks, so I was just doing my own thing, and I feel like I got more comfortable. And last week, I, felt like he wasn't really there when he was there, and so I was able to kind of block him out.
Nice. So your message for some of these people is that maybe the parents need to loosen up a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. We see it at every sport at every level. The parents are putting so much pressure on athletes to perform that, like you say, you have the absence of that for a few weeks and you start to relax, you start to play better.
Yeah.
All right. I hope the parents are all listening out there. Now, I've got one final question for you about how you practice, and we ask most of our touring players this. If I gave you an hour, just 60 minutes on a practice facility that has a chipping area, has a driving range, and has a putting green, how do you divide your time most effectively?
If I had only 1 hour?
Yep, just 1 hour.
I would do 15 of hitting balls. 15 of short game and then 30 of putting.
Okay. All right. So, and when you do the 15 at the driving range, are you going through your bag all the way, every club in the bag, or are you like somebody who has an 8-iron, hits the 8-iron, then goes down and hits the 4-iron and then hits a few drives? Or do you go through and hit every club?
I would just skip around maybe 60-degree, hit some warm-up shots, and then go with my 7, and then I only go up to a 7-iron, so okay. I have woods after that, and then hit some woods, and then hit some drivers.
Well, Christine, we appreciate you coming on, and thank you so much. I hope you can go out and win these next three, skip Q school, and just make it right back onto the big tour and take all of these things that you're talking about, including maybe telling your dad to back off a little bit, and find even greater success in the future.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.